For the Lore of the Land, this is Jack Leffler. In 1680, surviving Spanish colonists were forced to flee from their homes as a result of the Pueblo Revolt. For 12 years, they lived in the El Paso area far to the south. They returned to what is now northern New Mexico in full force after the reconquest in 1692 by General de Vargas. Throughout the 18th and 19th centuries, conflicts continued to exist between various Indian tribes and the Hispanos. Captives were taken on all sides, and there were profits to be made in the slave trade. People were separated from their families and otherwise culturally displaced. Gradually, there was a mingling of bloodlines that resulted in the mestizaje, or mixture, and thus was born La Raza Nueva, the new race. The New Mexico State Archive is rich in oral histories that recount how family members and friends were captured who either permanently disappeared or returned to their homes even after years of captivity. Generations of vigilance spawned a wariness that is still reflected in the countenances of old-timers whose family histories are peppered with recollections of captivity. Te Diana Rebolledo is a scholar who has been particularly interested in the lives of Hispano women and how they survived and fared during both the colonial and territorial periods when New Mexico homeland included most of the American Southwest. Here she recounts the story of a cautiva, or captive, who managed to survive her captivity by ever keeping her wits.
Refugio Guriola came from Magdalena, Mexico, near the border. And she and a cousin and her sister and a couple of military men had gone off on a pilgrimage to the church near Magdalena when they were surrounded by Indians. And she was captured, and her sister and the child were killed, as were the lieutenants. So she lived with them for a couple of years, and they actually taught her how to sew, how to cure hides and make beautiful dresses out of these deer skin. And then she met another captive who was also a Mexicano captive, and he helped her escape. And actually she went up to the fort that was here close to Las Vegas, and they took her in Fort Union. And up there she met a soldier from Taos who was a Martinez, and he fell in love with her. And so he sent her to Taos, and he told her his mother that he wanted to marry her. And he had to stay in Fort Union, but she was accompanied by someone to go to Taos. And the people of Taos had heard about her, that she had been a captive. And they came to greet her at the Rancho de Taos church. And apparently the people of Taos were so happy to see her that they threw money at her in order to be able to help her start a new life. So she went to live with Teofilo's mother, who was Maria de la Luz Martinez. And then she married Teofilo, and she lived there for many years, and she made a living by being a seamstress, using that skill that the Indians had taught her. And she always saved her dress because she said it was the thing that protected her while she was in captivity.
Virginia Vernal performs the 19th century ballad La Cautiva Marcelina, which recounts the kidnapping of a young woman who witnessed the murder of her family.
La Cautiva Marcelina, ya se la llevan, ya se la llevan. Para esas tierras mentadas, a comer carne de yegua, a comer carne de yegua. Por eso ya no quiero en el mundo más amar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar. La cautiva Marcelina, cuando llego a la guapa, cuando llego a la guapa, volteó la cara llorando. Mataron a mi papá, mataron a mi papá. Por eso ya no quiero en el mundo más amar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar. La cautiva Marcelina, cuando ya llego a los llanos, cuando ya llego a los llanos. Volteó la cara llorando, mataron a mis hermanos, mataron a mis hermanos. Por eso ya no quiero en el mundo más amar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar. La cautiva Marcelina, cuando llego al ojito, cuando llego al ojito. Volteo la cara llorando, mataron al delgadito, mataron al delgadito. Por eso ya no quiero en el mundo más amar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar. La cautiva Marcelina, cuando llego a los cerritos, cuando llego a los cerritos. Volteó la cara llorando, mataron a mis hijitos, mataron a mis hijitos. Por eso ya no quiero en el mundo más amar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar. De mi querida patria me van a retirar.
Historian Esteban Rael Galvez first became interested in mestizaje when he was a child.
Some of the elders were struggling with these definitions, not wanting to define themselves either as Españoles or Mexicanos, but something maybe deeper, bigger, larger concept. To this day, my mom will still refer nuestra raza, who we are. And even though you can translate the term raza to race, I hesitate because raza, the way it's used, is much more cosmic, is a deeper meaning than simply the race. I think in some ways it carries some of the complexity that how we define ourselves, who we are, our identity, comes from a much more complex past. And la raza tries to get at that.
Vieron los españoles de la España esta tierra, donde hallaron sus querencias. Y hermosas indias morenas, ea, 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 ea. Aquellas indias hermosas virtuosas, llenas de gracia, te escogieron para esposa, donde nació linda raza. Ea, ea, ea. Color bronce de mestizo, mezcla del indio del pueblo, donde salió un genízaro. Hey, 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 hey. con sus cantos penetrantes de cuadros espirituales. Alaba la santa tierra, que de todos es la madre. Ya se oía en los campos aquel canto, aquella danza. Retumbaba en la montaña, que sangre de Cristo llamaban. Españoles y Cumanche, todos en armonía, se juntaban a cantar y a bailar con alegría. Ea, 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 ea. Comiendo elotes tostados que la tierra producía, machucando carne seca de cibolo que había. Ea, 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 ea.
The mestizaje was an intermingling of both bloodlines and lifeways. One of the most significant ways the various cultures affected each other was with food. Carmela Padilla speaks of this.
When the Spaniards came, they brought many new crops. They brought chili, they brought wheat, they brought apricots and other things. And obviously, because they became so closely entwined with the Pueblo Indians, it gave rise to a new kind of cuisine that also incorporated the traditional Pueblo Indian food, squash and beans and corn. I think that probably more than anything today, when people think of New Mexican cuisine, they think of those four elements, chili, beans, squash, and corn, which is really a melding of both cultures, Spanish culture with the Pueblo Indian culture.
Although the Spanish colonists brought their own form of agriculture, as well as sheep, cattle, and poultry, they also relied on hunting for part of their meat. Here, Cipriano Vigil performs the ancient song of the hunter, entitled Cuando de los Cazadores.
Qué destino tan carajo tienen ya los cazadores. No alcanzan para camisa, con ti más para calzones. Cuando se cargan sus balas de pólvora en sus brazos, cuando vienen de cazar, vienen a dar que es un asco. Cuando estudian pa' contar, diciendo que fue jacalos, se lo mete al corazón, hecho sangre también pelos. Luego se van por los pinos. Qué destino tan carajo, con las garras del sombrero y la falda arriscadita. Cuando pasan días enteros mirando las pisaditas, deseando siquiera ver, también le echan sus borrones, pensando que son venados, les tiran a los troncones, pero como están salados, no alcanzan ni pa' calzones. Cuando llegan a tirar, no más se les van heridos, no les sirve ni el cuero, cuando los hayan perdidos, reciben gran desconsuelo por haber sido de los mejores, por no haber sido su ariri, se tomó por esos soles. Señores, pos este fin, tienen ya los cazadores. Cuando usaga mitadera, no alcanzan perdón de Dios, no faltando la primavera, solo de hambre matados, se tiran por la ladera, sin pronunciar más razón, matan uno por evento, cazándolos como león. No alcanzan pa' bastimiento, con timas para calzón. Qué destino tan carajo tienen ya los cazadores. No alcanzan ni pa' camisa, con timas para calzones. No alcanzan ni pa' camisa, con timas para calzones.
San Juan Pueblo elder Herman Aguayo recalls Pueblo Indian life, what they planted, what they did.
There's a handful of us that are still farming. Basically, just planted chili and pumpkin and sweet corn and some vegetables. And then, of course, I have horses, so I've got to make sure that I have enough hay for them. At the house, we have fruit trees so that we can eat, you know, dried peaches and apricots. And, of course, the wild plum has not been fruitful for many years now, and so we really haven't had the opportunity to dry the wild plums. Basically, grew white, blue, yellow, and, of course, the colored corn. And some families grew popcorn. And then bread, you know, for bread, we grew a lot of wheat. See, that was our main diet, beans and potatoes. The irrigation was done through dry farming and then through the creeks that were nearby. As I think, for example, if you go to Hopi, they channel the spring water to water their vegetables. Right from that spring water, it supported many family fields as it made its way down the mesa. Something like that was being done here because there's ample evidence of dry farming, storage of water as it flowed from snow melting or rain. When the people moved here to its San Juan present location, you had the Rio Grande. You had to construct an irrigation ditch. And today, I think we have 6 major irrigation channels coming out of the Rio Grande and a couple of irrigation ditches off the Chama River. Corn was prepared for roasting, and then, of course, it was turned into cornmeal. Of course, the matate was being used for getting the cornmeal. Now my wife does it occasionally. A great deal of it was needed for ceremonial purposes, and then a group of ladies would go to where matate slabs were. And then, of course, the men would sing for the ladies as they ground the corn.
Traditional remedios come from the earth. They're herbs that are gathered on mountainside that are cultivated over many generations and that people have to experiment with and learn how to use properly. It's a medicine that evolved out of many years of patience and trial and error. My introduction to remedios came through my elders in terms of grandparents and my parents, but my parents didn't have as much of a reliance on it as the generations before them. Basically, it's a system of folk medicine that relies on what's at hand, on the resources and the hierbas, the herbs that are really growing outside in your landscape that are used to help purify your body and to help heal your body. If you want the real thing, you go to a curandero or a curandera to ask them how to deal with your illnesses.
Gregorita Rodriguez spent most of her long life in Santa Fe, following the traditional customs of her people. She became well known as a curandera, or traditional healer, throughout the region.
Well, the Osha is the queen of the herbs because the Osha have a vitamin, and it's good for pneumonia, for the flu, for the stomach when you have gas, and it's good for your bladder. But for the flu, I mash it, you know, a big piece of Osha. I don't boil it. I boil the water about 10 minutes, and then I put the Osha and put it out. And then I put lemon and whiskey, 2 tablespoons of whiskey and 1 lemon and about maybe a pint of Osha. And you drink it for 3 days, and then you get better.
As the Hispano villages became ever more rooted in New Mexico, the sense of community evolved as cultural patterns affixed themselves to the passage of the seasons, the passage of the generations. As Te Diana Rebolledo points out, it was sometimes difficult to adhere to proper conduct.
We have stories from people who lived up in Placitas, New Mexico. They were very tight communities, you know, they might have like 40 families living there. And their daily life was pretty much connected to church and community. They did a lot of things communally. We have a lot of stories about making miel or getting together before religious holidays to cook. One of the traditions up in Placitas was that everybody made a dish to take to someone else's house, and that's what you did on the night before Christmas and before the big celebrations. You went and visited people's house, taking a dish to share. So there was a lot of communal living going on, helping each other to grow crops, and the children would go out and watch the sheep, and the mothers would band together and help each other out in different kinds of ways. But if you transgress those community guidelines, then you were really ostracized. There's a story of a young man who was supposed to be married to a young woman, and she fell in love with someone else. Some visiting musician came to the town, and she fell in love with him, and they must have had an affair. The story doesn't tell us that. They're too polite. So the young woman, of course, is ruined for life because she's no longer pure. But the young man decided that he wanted to marry her anyway. So he married her, but the town cut their hair off so they would become el pelón y la pelona. And periodically, every few weeks, their hair would be shorn off as a sign that they were no longer valued members of the community. And no one would help them when it came time to gather crops. The community wouldn't help them. When it came time to build a room in their house, the community wouldn't build them. They were pretty disgraced in the town. In fact, the church wouldn't marry them legally either. So they left and they went to Socorro, where they were able to grow their hair back and build a new life. But it was the only way that they could become integrated into a community again. So life could be pretty dominated by community mores and ideas.
One of the great mythic feminine figures permeating Hispano culture is La Llorona, the weeping woman whose presence still dominates collective imagination. Here, Cipriano Vigil performs his version of La Llorona.
Todos me dicen el negro llorona, negro pero cariñoso. Todos me dicen el negro llorona, negro pero cariñoso. Yo soy como el chile verde llorona, picante pero sabroso. Yo soy como el chile verde llorona, picante pero sabroso. Ay de mi llorona, llorona, llorona de azul celeste. Ay de mi llorona, llorona, llorona de azul celeste. Aunque la vida me cueste, llorona, no dejaré de quererte. Aunque la vida me cueste, llorona, no dejaré de quererte. Salías del templo un día, llorona, cuando al pasar yo te vi. Salías del templo un día, llorona, cuando al pasar yo te vi. Hermoso huipil llevabas, llorona, que la Virgen te creí. Hermoso huipil llevabas, llorona, que la Virgen te creí. Cielo subir pudiera, llorona, las estrellas te bajara. Si al cielo subir pudiera, llorona, las estrellas te bajara. La luna a tus pies pusiera, llorona, con el sol te coronara. La luna a tus pies pusiera, llorona, con el sol te coronará.
The Lore of the Land is sponsored by the Museum of New Mexico Foundation and the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs. This segment is funded by a grant from the United States Bureau of Land Management with the ongoing support of the Ford Foundation. For The Lore of the Land, this is Jack Leffler. Thank you for listening.